Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Did people actually see the gold plates? We know that some people insisted that they felt what they thought were gold plates, even though they may have been in a wooden box or even wrapped up in a thick cloth of some sort. But we're looking at an article that was in the March 2024 edition of the Liahona magazine, an article titled Witnesses of the Gold Plates of the Book of Mormon, and it was written by a senior historian for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mark Ashurst McGee. We're going through some of the evidence that he feels is perhaps convincing, probably more convincing to those who want to be convinced. But he's trying to present a case that there were people that felt the plates or saw the plates, even though the people who saw the plates, there's a lot of question marks about that, even when it comes to the three witnesses and the eight witnesses. And we've been talking about that in this series. But yesterday we introduced Isaac Hale's distrust for what he was told were the gold plates in a box. Isaac, according to the article, stated, "I was allowed to feel the weight of the box, and they gave me to understand that the book of plates was then in the box." You see, what Isaac is doing here is probably what you and I would do, Eric. We would want to know, okay, I'm lifting a heavy box, but how do I know what's in the box is what you claim is in the box? How do I know that if you're not allowing me to see them?
Bill, something that we read yesterday that I think is very important, it says, when Joseph and Emma arrived, Joseph allowed Isaac Hale, Emma's father, to heft the plates in a box. I think in Joseph's mind, I can get away with this again with my father-in-law. He'll believe it. And when he holds them and he says, either show me the plates or remove them from the house. Notice what Joseph does. Joseph hid the plates in the nearby woods until he and Emma moved into their own home on the Hale property. So he didn't have the goods inside to be able to produce that. And so he chooses the second alternative.
Well, it's interesting too that Joseph Smith seems to always use this threat of death or this threat of destruction if he doesn't do what he says he's claimed to do. It's like when he was going to marry this woman to be one of his plural wives. If I saw an angel with a sword that was going to kill me if you don't marry me. And in this case, he's told by the angel Moroni, if you let anybody see these plates, you're going to be destroyed. So it's always this, I can't do this or I'm going to die kind of thing. It's so dramatic. It seems like at times it's over the top. You would think after a while seeing this pattern in Joseph Smith that people would get a little more suspicious. But apparently, Emma's father, Isaac Hale, shows us that he's probably more suspicious than most, that's for sure. And when Smith does not go along with his demand to show him what's in this box, he's not going to believe that what he's holding are gold plates. Whereas it seems like everybody else in this article go along with what Joseph Smith tells them. And as you mentioned, and I think you're correct, Eric, they have skin in this game because Joseph Smith is their beloved son or he's a friend or something like that. And there's a close relationship with him. Isaac has always been skeptical. And as I mentioned yesterday, one of the reasons why Isaac Hale, Emma's father, did not like Joseph Smith was because he hung around a bunch of money diggers. And those people were not known to have the best reputation. He saw them as scandalous. He didn't even want his daughter marrying Joseph Smith. He had to elope with Emma in order to marry her, which I'm sure did not sit well with Joseph Smith's father-in-law. But then it goes on to say that there was an adjacent farm that was owned by Joseph and Sarah McCune. In fact, to this very day, there is a cemetery called the McCune Cemetery, which is next door to the home that Joseph and Emma lived in that was on the Hale property. What does Mr. Ashurst McGee have to say about this?
Their granddaughter later reported that Joseph McCune had been allowed, quote, to take in his hands a pillowcase in which a supposed saintly treasure was wrapped and to feel through the cloth that it had leaves, end quote. In harmony, Joseph Smith began his translation of the Book of Mormon by the gift and power of God. His initial scribes were his wife Emma and his friend Martin Harris. Like members of the Harris and Smith families, Emma hefted the plates as she, quote, would lift and move them, end quote, while cleaning. She also felt the individual leaves and heard the sound they made when moved, describing them this way, quote, I once felt of the plates as they thus lay on the table, tracing their outline and shape. They seemed to be pliable like thick paper and would rustle with a metallic sound when the edges were moved by the thumb, as one does sometimes thumb the edges of a book, end quote.
Again, if these plates are really made of gold, would they have made a sound like that? I'm not convinced that they would. We have a set of lead plates at the Utah Christian Research Center, and the lead plates, which are quite pliable, as she describes, they make a thumping sound. They don't make a tingling sound. They don't tinkle or anything like that. So whatever Smith had underneath, and I got to give him a, I don't know, do I give her credit or do I criticize her? These plates are sitting in her home. It's been mentioned that she moves them around to do her work, but she never looks at them. Now, that is either one faithful woman to her husband or maybe one gullible woman. It all depends on what side you're on in this story. But if she's going to lift and move them while cleaning, even if the plates were 60 pounds, as someone has surmised in the article here, that's a lot of weight to move around if it's not on any type of a stand. And if you don't believe me, just come on down to the Utah Christian Research Center and you can see our 50-pound plates and you'll see that they are quite heavy. And I don't even think with 50-pound plates, that's spotting them 10 pounds according to this article, Joseph Smith could have done what he claims to have done as far as carrying the plates for a distance of 3 miles, fighting off three separate attackers, jumping over a log and running for at least a half a mile, according to his mother's account, which, of course, where did she get that? She got that from her son, of course, because she was not there when Joseph Smith was carrying the plates from their hiding place in a hollow log. We go on to the section, Witnesses in Fayette. This would be Fayette, New York.
This is what it says. By the end of May 1829, the same kind of persecution Joseph had experienced in Manchester began occurring in Harmony, and Joseph realized he would need to move again to complete the translation. Along with his wife Emma and his scribe Oliver Cowdery, Joseph was taken into the household of some acquaintances, Peter and Mary Whitmer, of Fayette Township, New York. Mary Whitmer was shown the plates by a heavenly messenger. As far as we know, she never committed her experience to writing, but Mary shared her experiences with her children and grandchildren, who later shared it with others. Her grandson, John C. Whitmer, related, quote, I have heard my grandmother, Mary M. Whitmer, say on several occasions that she was shown the plates of the Book of Mormon by an holy angel, end quote. Her son David said that she was met out near the yard by an old man. Grandson John said that this man was carrying something on his back that looked like a knapsack, and that at first she was a little afraid of him. However, when he spoke to her in a kind, friendly tone and began to explain to her the nature of the work which was going on in her house, she was filled with inexpressible joy and satisfaction.
Now, in this publication, the Liahona, there's a picture of what we are to believe is Mary Whitmer being shown the plates by a heavenly messenger. And it's a guy wearing a brown type suit with a hat, and he has these plates on his knee showing her these plates. And they look very similar to artist renditions of the gold plates that Joseph Smith used to bring forth the Book of Mormon. Now, here's what I caught in reading this account. She's kind of afraid of this character coming up to her, but he pulls something out of his knapsack and began to explain to her the nature of the work which was going on in her house. What was the nature of the work going on in her house? Well, on the second floor of the Peter Whitmer cabin is the bedroom where Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery were translating the plates. Now, if they're translating the plates in her house, how did this character have the plates in his knapsack? Did he go into her house and grab the tangible plates, put them in his knapsack, and then carry them out to show Mary Whitmer? But this sounds very suspiciously close to the very same story that we're going to hear later on about how when it comes time to show the three witnesses, they're going to go out into the woods to see the plates. They're not going into the home of Peter Whitmer where the translation was taking place. Smith doesn't bring the plates with him. They just all of a sudden show up miraculously by this so-called angel who supposedly says these are the plates. And then they hear a voice from heaven saying that they're translated correctly.
What you just said might sound ridiculous, that he went into the house to get the plates and then to bring them back down and put them in his knapsack. But this begs the question. Joseph Smith said that nobody's supposed to look at these plates until he's done translating, but he's not done translating yet. Why is she getting to see them and nobody else? I'm going to suggest it's probably not real, probably meant to be a visionary tale, which is not made very clear by the author of the article. And so it's confusing for me as an outsider trying to figure out how is this supposed to help me as a questioning Latter-day Saint regarding the witnesses of the Book of Mormon and the gold plates going to help me have faith that these are really real plates.
Especially when you look at that article that I cited earlier in the week by Marvin Hill, who's doing a critique of Fawn McKay Brody's book, No Man Knows My History. He says that even though the accounts are contradictory, it appears that the witnesses saw the plates only in a vision. Now, that's a Mormon historian say that. I don't know, and I can't explain why Mark Ashurst McGee doesn't agree with Marvin Hill's assessment of this. But the fact remains, if in fact Marvin Hill is correct and the three witnesses and the eight witnesses saw the plates only in a vision, why is Mary Whitmer getting to see the tangible plates? That just always had a big question mark for me when I'm trying to understand this account. But it goes on in this portion to talk about the work that was going on in her house. And then later on, according to this account, the personage then suddenly vanished with the plates, and where he went, she could not tell. So while she's having a conversation with this individual, he just suddenly vanishes. How are we to understand that? Does this not sound more, as you said, Eric, like a visionary experience rather than her meeting a tangible person that she could touch and showed her tangible plates? Again, I think there's a huge question mark on this.
I think we need to also remember that she has not written this down. Something of this nature, I would think that she would have had transcribed and written down for posterity's sake, but all we're getting is the relatives who say that she told the story.
Tomorrow, we're going to continue looking at this article by Mark Ashurst McGee, a senior historian with the Joseph Smith Papers Project, titled Witnesses of the Gold Plates of the Book of Mormon.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.